This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Bug the Pod!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, and that means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. Well, the Caps have only had two games since Coach Dan and I talked again. One they won, one they didn't, one Tom Wilson came back, and the Caps serenaded Big Willie. Back to the team. Coach Dan has never serenaded me when I return to the show. Joining me, though, to talk all about the Caps and their two games since we talked last. Coach Dan, what's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm not serenading. How come you're never going to sing Eminem to me? Come on.
What?
Sing me some Eminem.
No.
Come on. Obi did it for Willie. Just makes sense.
Well, then he can do it for you. You can go get one of the, what's the thing you got for me? A cameo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There you go. Which I don't think there's any Caps players on Cameo now that I'm thinking about it. I know.
I don't check it that often, so I cannot. I can neither confirm nor deny as to whether these facts are true.
Yeah, I know. Like Wes Johnson and John Walton was on there for a little bit. Alan May was on there. I think they were raising money during the pandemic, but I don't think any Caps players are on there. That's interesting. Anyway, so let's talk about it. The Caps have only had two games since we talked last, both against the Rangers. One's a win, one's a loss. What were your thoughts on this game? It's kind of interesting. You and I talked about it last week. What to do when Tom Wilson comes back? They're on a roll. How do they keep it going and keep a top-line guy like Tom Wilson out of the lineup and still win? And bringing him back in doesn't seem to have done the trick.
No, it's they got all mad about the fact that Wilson wasn't able to play because he got suspended for doing something stupid. And then they won seven straight without him. And then he gets to come back and everybody's happy and they lost. And, you know, to an extent, and it sounds kind of time for cliche, but, you know, everybody's due for a loss at some point, and a seven-game winning streak is very good, obviously. But they were due for a loss, and the Rangers aren't necessarily a bad team. They are an up-and-coming team. They're a fast team, and they've got a lot of skilled guys, but they're still a lot of them are a bit young. But they're a team to keep an eye out for going forward, and, you know, they just happen to play better than the Capitals on that night. And I don't think Wilson coming back had anything to do with it. The timing is unfortunate from a storyline perspective or anybody that likes to continue to bash Tom Wilson. And he does need to play better. And I was a little annoyed by one of his comments, at least, that I saw about how he needs to play smarter or keep learning. I was like, dude, you've been spending how many times? Like, do you need someone to write it down for you and like in crayon? Like, I don't understand. How hard is this for you to figure out? But I don't think there's any connection between Wilson coming back and them not playing well. And I think, if anything, having the team play so well while he was out definitely was a benefit, because that you can play better, and not better, but you can play well with these guys that aren't necessarily playing every night. Sprong came in and played well.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's definitely earned a spot. There may not be one for everybody every night, but he's definitely earned the opportunity to play more than he had been.
It's interesting. I mean, Lars Eller was still out, but that loss to the Rangers, I mean, yeah, it was a loss, and they don't have 2 points. However, I think that the defense and especially the goaltending really was shining there, even in a loss. I think Sammy played really, really well. Unfortunately, it came down to a loss. But, I mean, that second goal that the Rangers got, that was a fantastic goal. And, I mean, Dylan kind of let that one fall through. He kind of fumbled the puck there a little bit. But that final goal by the Rangers, I mean, even as a Caps fan, I'm going, wow, that's a pretty goal. And the goal that the Caps got was John Carlson's goal, and that was a really good-looking goal. So, I mean, they played well, like you said. They're due a loss every once in a while if it has to happen. So, unfortunately, things happen. But I don't think it was Tom Wilson. He's not the one to blame. It's interesting. He comes back into the lineup, and now he they come up with a loss. It could just have been the line shuffling.
Yeah, I mean, the timing is a bit unfortunate, but I don't think I don't think it's a result of Wilson. The goal that the Rangers got the game winner on is pretty unfortunate for Dylan. You could see he was trying to make a play and make something there, but you know, I think he needed to stick a little bit more to the basics. And I know that at least over at Russian Machine, they're not the biggest fan of Brendan Dillon, or at least the play that he's brought this season. They feel like, or as far as I can tell, they seems like they feel like he's the weak link. And to some extent, I can see that argument. But given how this team has played with guys in and out of the lineup, and the fact that they're still, you know, are they still on top? I haven't actually looked at the standings recently.
I'm pretty
After
sure
the
they
loss
are.
To the Rangers, did the Islanders jump back ahead of them? But either way, the fact that they're in that fight for the top in the division, they've played two less games than the Islanders, but they're 2 points behind. So if you do it like when you click on the AHL standings, it goes by percentage instead of points for some stupid reason. But if you're doing a percentage wise, Caps are in first. He's been quiet and unsung to an extent, but I really do think we need to give Laviolette a little bit of credit here. In terms of the fact he's been able to keep this team together. Defensively, they've played pretty well. There have been mistakes along the way, and that's going to happen when you have guys in and out of the lineup so often because of injuries or COVID or whatever the case may be. But I think the fact that he has been able to kind of hold this team together deserves a lot of credit. The fact that they're still fighting to be one of the top teams in the, not even in their division, but in the NHL, with everything they've had to deal with, that's impressive.
I mean, we've seen Caps teams in the past. The regular season usually is not a big deal for this team. It is getting into the playoffs and what they do in the playoffs. That's
the thing when you're playing
like
against teams that aren't as good.
Right.
You know, now you have the Islanders, who are no joke. You have Pittsburgh, who's never a joke. You have Boston, who for some reason is struggling, but you have to imagine they're going to turn it up. And then you got the Flyers coming in behind them and the Rangers. Devils, not as concerned about yet. They're still a bit younger. Next year or two, they're going to be a team to keep an eye on. And Buffalo's Buffalo. They are a dumpster fire. Are they the worst team in this league, points-wise, right now? I think they definitely are. Yeah, they are god-awful. And we'll see what happens. It's unfortunate, because I have a little bit of a soft spot for the Sabres.
16 points? They have 16 points?
They are 6-20-4. They have a winning percentage of 2.67. Goal differential of -42.
Oof.
Anaheim's actually so does Ottawa have a -42. Anyways, they suck. I think Laviolette should get a little bit more credit than I think we've been giving. We haven't talked about him that much. I think this is kind of when things are going well, you don't really talk about the coach. When things are going poorly, you start to question him. But the fact that he's been able to keep this team together, and it took a little bit of time for them to really start, it feels like, to understand not only his system. They didn't have a normal preseason. They don't have normal practices. They're not allowed, my understanding is that they're not allowed to go into, you know, a room somewhere at, it's not Kettler anymore. It's MedStar.
What's the
practice
rink?
Yeah. They're not allowed to go into their practice facilities in Boston and have meetings in the same way they would in the past. That's why that one time that they caught Laviolette dropping F-bombs at the guys at practice because he was mad about something. Well, I guess knowing that stuff happens behind closed doors, I kind of want another one of those HBO 24/7 things on the Caps to see a little bit more of that stuff. Maybe they can get Boudreaux to come back with, like, you know, pizza sauce or whatever that was on his face. But to have more opportunities to work with the players, the team's just getting better as a result of it. And so I think Laviolette really does deserve a lot of credit, considering how this team has been doing. I think the defense has improved. And, you know, they were without Wilson. They were without the Russians for a little bit. They've been with Eller's been in and out of the lineup. I think that they're doing okay right now. You know, that loss of the Rangers is not great. It kind of cost them to an extent on just one bad play by Dylan.
Yeah.
And the offense just didn't seem to show up that night.
If Dylan stays on his feet and upright on that play, we might be talking about them getting out of that game with at least a point. I mean, if Dylan doesn't fumble that, then we'd be. It could have been a win.
Credit
on
Wilson's
first game back.
Who scored the goal? Zibanejad?
I believe so.
I I kind of want him on the Caps only because I think his name is fun. Like, I feel like if they had him, I definitely would have his jersey, as you like to call it. Because that's a fun name, Zibanejad.
I mean, after that goal, I want him on the team too.
Well, that's true too. But like, that's a name you hear be like the bad guy in like a Mission Impossible or Bond film or one of those. Mika Zibanejad. Zibanejad? Whatever it is. I like, he's got a cool name. That's all I'm trying to say.
Who'd win in a fight, Bond or Bourne?
Bond. He's got the gadgets.
Yeah, but they're in a fight.
You didn't say it was a fist fight.
Are we in like a cyber war now?
No. I'm just saying, like, in a fight, he has gadgets that are technically available. If you're talking about a fist fight, probably Bourne, because Bond's not quite as... I mean, Daniel Craig is more of a brute Bond than Brosnan or Connery or...
Right.
Roger Moore, Lazenby, whatever. Timothy Dalton. But Bourne, I think, wins in a straight-up fist fight. Because, like, do you remember all right, let's see. We're about 10 minutes in. We've gotten off track, everybody. It's better than last week. Last week, we made about 45 seconds before we got off track. The fight scene in Bourne Ultimatum with him in the... I can't remember where they were. But it's in, like, the house. Not the second one, the third movie, where they had that big fight and they're, like, fighting with... Like, beating him up with a book. That was intense.
Oh, right.
That was really... Like, that was a really good fight scene. I can't remember where they were.
Yeah, I don't remember. That was a good trilogy, though. That last one, the Jason Bourne, the fourth one, not that good.
That was a money grab.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, you guys waited 10 years for that? Really? Come on.
Yeah,
like,
they really should have left it, because the third had a great ending.
Yeah,
just
really
leave
did.
It alone. I mean, the Jeremy Renner film was...
I completely forgot about that one, too.
It wasn't very good.
Yeah.
But anyways, let's talk Caps hockey.
Yeah. So another another guy with a fun, weird last name, Trevor Van Riemsdyk, can't even say it correctly. He got signed to a new 2-year extension.
That's another one you can see in a movie, Van Riemsdyk, or just Riemsdyk.
Yeah, I mean, that's a wrestler name right there.
That's true. Or it's a good villain name.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one.
Did this deal surprise you?
100% it did, because you and I were talking about that last week. It's hilarious. Someone in the Caps organization listens to this little podcast, because last week we brought him up, like, why did you even sign him? And you were like, well, he's on the taxi squad. He's just, you know, he's an extra body.
Yeah, you need
now
depth.
He gets a two-year extension, $1.9 million extension. And it's a 2-year deal. So obviously they have plans for him. I tweeted to you. You never answered me back. You ghosted me.
Oh, I did. I didn't know. I mean,
you
I guess
ghosted me.
I guess by technical definition, I did. No, because don't you have to? No, because for ghosting, don't you have to? No, I guess. Like, I don't know.
I don't know. I'm 35. So,
what does that have to do with anything?
I don't know. I tweeted to you and said, could this potentially mean they have plans for him and they have plans to either let someone go, trade them, or let their contract run out a la Michael Kempney?
No, because he's still on the team, Kempney.
Yeah, but I'm saying they signed this guy to a 2-year deal and they're like, all right, you're finally back and you're shipping up to Boston or something like that. You're hitting the bricks.
You saying they're going to send Kempney out? That doesn't do him any Van Riemsdyk any good. He's still got six other guys in front of him. Seven, if depending on where he's at in the depth chart in terms of him and Siegenthaler.
Is he a Siegenthaler, I think he wants out because he's not playing. But like, if you have Kempney coming back, you're gonna need the cap space somewhere.
He's not coming back. He's been skating, but I don't think he's gonna come back this season. Maybe. Who goes out? Even if Kepney's able to play, are they going to mess with it? Because Laviolette seems to be pretty happy with the defense as it is. Like,
I'm just saying, like, if Kempney comes back, maybe that's why they re-sign Trevor here, because they think he'd be a cheaper option than Kempney, and they're just going to say, all right, you're healed up, and now we're letting you go. We're putting you on waivers.
Hmm.
Or maybe they're getting ready for the expansion draft.
Hmm. No, but Van Riemsdyk's still going to be... I don't foresee him not being exposed. Like, so losing him in the expansion draft, which you probably won't, unless you work some trade, you know, I think defensively they're going to protect Carlson.
See, this seems like a money move to me. It seems as if they are planning to let some players go to get some cap space, because I think right now they are $10 underneath.
They just signed a guy.
I'm saying they're signing him. Yeah, they're signing him because they're making a plan to let one or two players go for like some draft picks or something.
I was just like, watch Seattle take Chara. But no, he'll be a free agent at that point, so it won't matter.
Now, he's somebody I want them to re-sign, but we've been over that. Everybody knows that.
Well, the thing is, if you re-sign him, then you have to protect him. So who... Actually, I don't know the timing of how all that works, necessarily. Well, if you re-sign him now, then yeah, you have to protect him. You're obviously, they're going to protect John Carlson. I think Carlson, Dylan, and Siegenthaler, I think, were mine. I don't know what they're going to... Now that you think, I don't really know what their plan is going to be. You know, could be Schultz. Could be Orlov instead of Dylan and Siegenthaler. Like, I don't know. That's a tough one to see. But, my thought is that it's a depth move. I'm actually more surprised. Not that the Caps did it, because it's not very expensive. You're looking, it's like his cap hit comes out to under $1 million. And... I think it's like $900,000 is how much he gets paid 1 year, $1 million the other year. I don't know which order it's in. It doesn't really matter because they average it out. But it's a depth move because the cap ceiling's not going up. He's a guy that could play. So I think he's a good seventh defenseman to have. I'm just surprised that he wanted to sign the deal. Maybe he wants the security versus not necessarily getting a lot of offers somewhere else. You know, I don't know. I don't recall. I don't know if we knew how many other teams were talking to Trevor Van Riemsdyk during the offseason before he signed with the Capitals. Maybe he didn't maybe there wasn't a big market for him then. And then he's not playing, so that market's not getting any bigger. And so he figured, I want to know? I want to know if it's it's probably not a two-way deal. Like, he probably will go on waivers. But I want to know what Van Riemsdyk was thinking in terms of like wanting to come back, because he's not getting a lot of minutes. You know, he's getting free. I'm imagining they're at the games if they're a healthy scratch. So he's getting, he's getting free tickets to the game is basically what's happening. And he gets to practice with the guys. But he's not playing. So I want to know, did he think, I don't really have an opportunity to play anywhere else, so I think I'll stick with the Capitals. Were they told, after this season, we're going to be moving on from a couple of guys, and that's going to be your chance?
That's what I think.
That's a possibility, I guess, but it's too hard to say right now because we don't know what's coming. You know, I'm looking at cap friendly right now. The guys that are going to be free agents after the season on the defense is Siegenthaler and Chara. And now Siegenthaler's only 23. I hate to lose that dude at a 23-year-old who has shown potential. The only reason I think he's not getting minutes now is because Laviolette's happy with the defense. And he doesn't see any need to switch it up. Like, right now, who's Siegenthaler going to beat out? Carlson's playing well. Orlov's playing well. Schultz is playing well. Dylan's playing. Jensen's playing well. Chara's playing well. I don't see who he's beating out at this point.
Well, you also have to look at those guys, too. I mean, we talked about this last year even. Before COVID, that this team was getting big and bulky and
which is interesting because the NHL is getting fast.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, they are going the exact opposite.
Built for the playoffs.
Siegenthaler, he's not a big, bulky guy. He's one of the shorter players on the defense, and they've kind of shown they want giants. They want the land of the Giants on this defense here. I mean, look at Chara, Dylan, those type of guys. They're big, bulky dudes. They're not the quickest, but maybe that Siegenthaler just doesn't fit into the scheme that they're looking for. Of those guys, I can see him kind of being, either let go or not signed, and that's what this Trevor Van Riemsdyk signing means. They see more in him being able to fit the scheme than a guy like Jonas.
Maybe. I have a problem thinking you're going to re-sign a 29-year-old to a 2-year deal when he's not going to play over a 23-year-old. Like, Siegenthaler needs minutes. This is definitely not helping his development. But I have a hard time saying we're going to keep the 29-year-old instead of the 23-year-old to sit up in the press box. Like, if you want him playing and developing, then play him or put him back in with Hershey. I don't know if he goes on waivers, but put him back in Hershey so that way he's getting minutes and he's continuing to develop in some respect versus not – he's hanging out now. You know, he played, what, 30 seconds in the one game?
If that, yeah.
You know, or are they thinking, well, we're not really sure if he's going to be our guy. We think we can get something for him. We've got Favari in the minors who we like. We've got Alexiev at some point. We've got, you know, you still have Lucas Johansson, though it seems like he's – didn't he sign a new deal or something? He signed a new deal this season. You know, you have maybe a couple other defensemen that you're thinking, well, we can bring these guys up instead. Maybe Siegenthaler becomes a trade chip for us. You know, we know we might be losing somebody worth something in the upcoming expansion draft. Do we use Siegenthaler as, you know, hey, they'll take this guy on and, yeah, we'll get nothing for him. At least we're not losing a TJ Oshie. Or do they think we're going to lose Oshie and we use Siegenthaler to bring in a top six forward?
I don't know. A lot of question marks here. A lot of question marks.
I was very surprised when I saw a notification come up and it was like, Caps re-signed Trevor Van Riemsdyk. I was like, dude, what? Do they know they have two other guys that are about to become free agents or restricted free agents that they probably want to talk to just a little bit more?
I don't know. Van Riemsdyk seems to be the guy that they want to keep, but I think it's a money move. I think they're seeing him as the cheaper option than a couple other defensemen with the contracts coming
up. You think
up,
he's going to play next season in the top six? Which is all of the guys playing. Do you think he's going to play on defense? Duh. Do you think he's going to play on, like, get a sweater every night? I don't see it. Okay, so let's say hypothetically you don't bring back Char, right? To answer my own question. Like, you don't bring back Char, so you have that open spot. Are you going to give it to the 29-year-old versus the 30-year-old versus the 25-year-old? I don't know when their birthdays are, so those numbers might be off.
Well, like you said, Jonas might not be re-signed either. You could see Chara and Siegenthaler both hit the bricks.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
And the way that it's going, I think that they see this guy as...
Well, he's restricted.
You know, here's the other thing, too. You have to remember that Brian McClellan doesn't like to develop guys. He likes to buy guys. He's a guy that went out and bought Brooks Orpik and bought Matt Niskanen.
It worked.
You had defense...
No, but
it
you
did.
Didn't have any defense.
I'm not arguing that at all. It definitely worked.
It took a while.
He's the guy that had no draft picks, you know, in one of his first NHL drafts or his first official one. He doesn't care about developing players. He wants to buy the guys that are veterans that they don't have to train. He is like the American workforce right now. You don't get a training period anymore. You have to know what the job you're going into, and if it takes 2 weeks for you to get used to the place, you're out. That's the way it is now in this world, and that's what Brian McClellan's looking for. He wants the 29-year-old because he doesn't have to teach the guy how to play hockey like, you know, they do in the Bears organization.
No, I have a hard time with that one because I don't know if I entirely subscribe to that train of thought. I think he can. I think it's a matter of he's going to let the coach decide who he wants to play. And I think if they're not confident in Siegenthaler, he's not going to play. And it's not a matter of he's a young guy, so we're not going to play him. They have players that they feel are at the moment better than him. And they're going to play those guys. So that's why you see Jensen and Dylan and Schultz and Orlov and Carlson and Chara get a jersey over him. You know, I don't think the fact that Van Riemsdyk got re-signed says anything about Siegenthaler. If I'm Siegenthaler, I am questioning where I am at in the organization. And I'm, you know, maybe I'm like, hey guys, can you move me on now or move me on after this season? Because I'm not in your plans and I want to have a career in the NHL, and if it's not here, then let it be somewhere else. So, and I honestly don't have a problem with him saying that, because I think if they have a guy like Alexiev who can come over in a season or two, or play in the NHL, you know, next season or the year after that, and you have Favari, who they seem to be pretty high on, I think McClellan's pretty high on him, you know? I think McClellan is willing to throw all of his... eggs in one basket? Where am I going with this? That was
It's Easter next week, so yeah.
Oh, that worked out. Oh, okay, cool. No, I think he was perfectly comfortable going with experience over potential.
Mm-hmm.
Because he sees that as something that's going to work. And it did to an extent before, but don't forget, they also had Christian Jus on that Stanley Cup winning team. They had Jacob Vrana. These are young guys. Vrana's one that he's developing. Well, not him, the coaching staff is. But, you know, he definitely assigned more older guys, but it's not like he doesn't bring in any young players. They went and They brought in Daniel Sprong. You know, we don't really know what we have with him. They've got Wilson. He's 26 now, but he wasn't, you know, he was what, 22? How many years has McClellan been here? 5, 6 now? Right? So he's in his early 20s, late teens? I can't remember. But
yeah, I'm not.
So I don't think he's entirely against, but I do think, at least with this, especially with this season, they are favoring experience over potential. And the fact that they're in a very tough division that you literally are only playing your games against, I can understand that to an extent. You know, if you're playing in a division that's got a bunch of, like, teams on their way up or kind of suck. I mean, we have the Sabres, but kind of suck. Then, okay, you play some of your guys with potential, you see what you got. But it's a dogfight to get out of this division. And so, I think they're going to favor experience over potential right now.
Yeah, I don't think it's right now. I think that's always been Brian McClellan's MO, and that's fine. It worked. I mean, it got them their first and only Stanley Cup, and they're fighting back towards that right now. So we'll see what happens. But I mean, I think that's why you go, like you said, with the 29-year-old instead of the 23-year-old. I think he wants a guy with experience. So we'll see if it works out. Hopefully it does. Hopefully the Caps can bring home the Stanley Cup. We'll see. But in other Caps news, the Caps actually finished using their reverse retro jerseys.
Boo!
Their sweaters. It's over. It's over. They're gone. And they were big hits. Everybody loved them. So I'm kind of surprised this early in the season that they wouldn't like save it for, like, you know, the final week of the regular season to wear them one more time.
I wonder how much say they had in that, you know, like, if they could, they go to the NHL and be like, actually, these are delightful. Can we keep them around? I don't know. I want to see if it make you laugh. Can we keep these around and use them a bit more, because they're actually really nice? And I'm really disappointed because they're great. And the more I look at it, the more I'm like, I kind of wish I got one when they first went on sale. How much were they again? Do you remember? Not buy one on eBay, they were where, like, everybody jack up the prices like 500%.
They were like $160 to $200.
Okay, I wish someone had bought me one. Let's put it that way. Because I don't want to pay. I'll go halvesies if someone wants to buy me one. I don't know how that makes sense. But, I am a bit disappointed that they're not using them anymore. I'd love to see them come back in the future. I part of me is like, you know what? I could see them doing that, where the teams get to have, they pick their own third jersey, because it's not unprecedented that a Winter Classic or a Stadium Series jersey sticks around as a third jersey that they use at home. But because everybody had this whole reverse retro thing, that's the one that makes me go, well, I think this is all part of a full, like, marketing scheme. And do you remember, maybe I made this up, maybe I misunderstood something, but aren't they going to do a similar thing next year where every team is going to get some sort of
specific
design?
Well, you said when Adidas took over the sweaters, that they do the same thing over in European football, where everybody gets us like a new jersey
but
every
year. But that's I believe that for the most part, but that's not just Adidas. That's Nike, Under Armour, Puma, like all of them do that. Right. So that's more of a soccer thing. I mean, they do it in the MLS here for the most part. That's more of a soccer thing than a Nike, Adidas thing, but it's more, part of me wonders, because it was such like a special thing that everybody got their reverse retros that they played like four games in. Why did you make such a big deal about it and then only play a handful of games? Like, what kind of crap is that? Anyways, but like the fact that everybody was a part of it makes me think that it was too big of a thing to be allowed to come back. Does that make sense?
Well, I mean,
you could say
it'll be interesting. No, it does make sense, but it'll be interesting because this was 100% a hit. I think there were only a couple teams
Caps won,
where people
yeah.
were.
Some of them were.
Yeah.
I just saw.
Yes.
Oh, I just saw someone's. I think Anaheim's I thought was really bad.
Yeah.
I don't remember where I ranked that, but I saw it and I was like,
Yeah, we both, I think, ranked that pretty low.
Calgary's actually looked
think,
nicer with the guys wearing it than it did just on like a, you know, a model or whoever that was or whomever.
Wearing a hoodie underneath, yeah, but.
Yes, I don't get that look.
It's interesting because it's, I think it was a hit, especially right now in the middle of a pandemic. Everyone's kind of being careful about how they spend their money, and people were shelling out big bucks for these sweaters, and it wasn't just Winter Classic sweaters between two teams. You were getting the entire league interested and buying and spending their money at a time when they couldn't go see their teams in person, unless you live in, you know, Texas or Florida right now. So it's they're going to do it again because there's money to be made there. Now, is every year going to be a hit like the reverse retros? I highly doubt it. But it'll be something that I think that Adidas is going to have to continue to do because people are going to buy them. We know that. But
can they
keep it up?
Why don't they have more on
sale then? Well, because they come from China. And like imports from China aren't getting here. We don't have the stock.
You think that's why they're not selling anymore?
Yeah, 100%. And also, I think it gets people intrigued for when it comes out the next time. You know, it's like, oh, I got to go get one now because they're limited.
That'll
that's why
be
they
me.
They make like four PS5s and then put them out on Christmas Eve, you know.
Supply and demand. No, I mean, I get it. I just really want one. I do think it was weird they only played four games. I really wish this would be their new third jersey, and then the NHL can come out with some goofy fourth one. But the fact that they've already said that the blue one that really needs to have the red up top, the blue one is going to be their third jersey for the next, I don't remember how many seasons they said.
Three years.
3 years.
Yeah. That's the one I want. I like that more than the reverse retro, but I know I'm...
What?
I know I'm kind of like
the
weirdo.
You and Adam. A guy I used to work with, buddy of mine, he never liked the old blues, which he's delusional, and he doesn't like the reverse retros, and I think I have to fight him now because he's wrong.
I do like these more than the old blues. I do like the red sweaters that they're wearing now. I do like the color scheme better.
I don't know. That's a tough one for me.
I do like seeing the Screaming Eagle as well as the logo, like when it goes to commercial and that kind
of
stuff.
Can I tell you?
I do like that.
I always used to like the Capitol Dome logo better. But red, white, and blue, I do like the Screaming Eagle better than the Capitol Dome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks good. I like it.
I like everything about it. About, not the Eagle, but the reverse retro stuff. Like, I kind of wish that was their current logo. Like, I always wanted to go back to the script one, and we got that for a while. But I'm really liking the Screaming Eagle as their logo.
I mean, the Capitals are due for a change. We have been rocking the red since, 2006, 2007, something like that? Or even been earlier than that, 2005?
I don't know. I was at that last game with my sister when they started teasing they were going back to the red, white, and blue. I mean, if you're not going to stick with the Eagle, go back to the old scripts. The new, it doesn't matter. They're not going to listen to me anyways.
Somebody listens to this show, but if they made the blue third sweaters as the main one, I'd be cool with that.
Make
the Eagles the third retros. I'm fine with that. Make that the third jersey.
Wait, what's
That's
on the front
too.
Of the blue one again?
It's a W with the Washington Monument in the middle and then the three stars.
No, that's not a good.
I like it. I'll take it.
If you make the blue with the script, fine. Not with the W. The W looks like a secondary or would that be tertiary logo? Is that how you say third? Tertiary?
I like the blue. I like the logo. I think they should go with that. But once again, we're getting into fashion
sense.
We
always
here
on this program.
Always. That's why you tune in, right? What else is going on in Caps World?
I don't know. No, let's see. What else did we not talk about yet? Oh, a little bit of former Caps news. Travis Boyd got claimed by Vancouver. You think they're all hanging out in like a apartment together? Because you got all the former Caps there. You got Boyd. No. It's cool. They all came from Washington. They can be like a little unit. You got Boyd hanging out with Holtby. Like
in their own mini bubble?
Did Boyd play with... He must have played with Beagle, right? Am I crazy?
No, yeah, he's on the Caps, the Cup run, right? Stanley Cup
team.
Yeah,
so Boyd, yeah. Holtby, Schmidt, and Beagle all hanging out up in the Great Northwest. Now, I have a Beagle Canuck shirt. I don't have a Holtby one, but I don't think he's going to be there long enough for it to really matter.
Yeah, I don't think it's going well for the Holt beast up in Vancouver.
I kind of want a Schmidt one, but I don't really want to pay what it's going to cost because Fanatics always jack up the prices for the jerseys. But yeah, in Caps, I mean, still got the goalies, not controversy, but I think that's something to pay attention to in regards to who's going to be the goalie going into the playoffs.
I like it. Both are playing very well. I like this.
I think that's ideal.
It's a good problem to have.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing with the forwards and the defense. You have more guys who can play than you have spots for. So while it's a problem, it's a good problem to have, and I have no problem with it. That was repetitive.
And, I mean, we should talk a little bit with games coming up that Ovechkin actually missed practice today on Tuesday, and that's kind of a rarity. The Russian machine, he normally, I mean, will play through anything. I don't think he's missed a practice unless he's been, like, suspended or something like that or in COVID protocol. I can't remember for the life of me him missing something due to an injury or an ailment. So, I mean, they're going to rest him, I guess, see how he does. There's no talk yet of whether or not he's going to play in the next game. During the Rangers game, he missed a little bit. He did go off the bench into the locker room, but then he did come back and finish the game. So, we'll see what happens with
him. Laviolette came out and said it was a maintenance day today. But it seems, you know, Russian machine breaks a little bit. There's a little bit of falling apart. He's got some...
Is he showing his age?
Nah, I mean, it could have been... I don't know exactly what the case was. It could have been, you know, something small. He hit took a puck off or just an awkward turn, hit a rut in the ice. There's a bunch of different things it could have been. So I'm not, you know, I don't think there's any need to freak out just yet. I'm sure, you know, we'll see. If he's not playing in the next game, then you could be like, problem. Are you looking at what I just sent you?
Yeah.
So I jumped on Fanatics real quick, and they have the Caps jersey, the blue one. I still think there needs to be the red on the top. But anyways, they have the blue one. That W logo really needs to be up on the shoulders, and that would be real nice.
I told you when we went through the logos during one of our summer shows, I love one that represents the city that they're in. I love that.
So the
that.
DC
With
one,
that
it
w,
says freaking Washington on it.
That's a word. I want a logo. I want something specific. Like, you look at that NY for the Yankees, and that's New York.
Okay,
look like Baltimore. The Orioles do not have something that represents Baltimore, and I hate it. Their hat just says O's. Give me a B up there. I want a B up there. See, exactly. You put that B with Boston.
Well, actually, I said Boston, and then in my head I went, are there any other cities B that could have it? Because
the Twins, you got the, you know, they
Twin
have
cities,
the
TC.
The TC, yeah.
I mean, okay.
I like stuff that represents the place that they live in, and they've got the W and the three stars on that blue jersey, which is the
but
DC
you can
flag. Great flag. Most people don't know that DC has a flag, so
Wait
that's
a
even... It's fun and educational.
Are the three stars, I don't remember because I'm sure they put something out about it. Are the three stars representing DC or are the three stars representing the District, Maryland, and Virginia? Because that's what the three stars on the red and the white jersey are representing.
That is correct. However, I like that there are three stars on the DC flag and it
so
makes
sense. So
you're
making it make sense in your head.
Yes, exactly. And I am the most important customer here.
Well, I can't argue with that now, can I?
I have the microphone, so that is
that is a very good point, and you're the one that edits the show, so I'm going to go ahead and be nice. But I think
The next show is just going to say, it's going to be you on piecing words together. I agree, Brandon. You are smart.
Like, I don't. Thank you, Dan. You're going to like tag me on Twitter of the new show and be like, I didn't record anything. What did he do? You should do that one time. It's like, oh God, actually don't. Cause the amount of work that would go into something so stupid. Not worth it. But it would be funny. Man. I think that's it for cap stuff that we need to talk about. I don't. Samsonov, you know, we got the goalies we're talking about. Vanacek's played well. Samsonov's
played
well.
His 500th game with the Caps. That's
good
for him.
Oh, man. I wrote that on the notes and I freaking missed it. Yeah, that's pretty cool for him. We'll see if he makes it to 600.
We'll see.
I don't know if I actually see them trading him.
I mean, he's one of Ovechkin's best buddies. I don't know if you want to upset the captain. So,
it wouldn't be the first time they've traded someone he was friends with. In fact, traded or let go, one of the people. He was younger then, but he wanted Witt to stay. He was gone. They wanted Zubris to stay. He got traded. They wanted I'm pretty sure he was buddies with Like. Like got traded.
Did he get traded or just let go? Did his contract run out?
No, Like got sent to. Oh shoot, he got dealt for. He got sent with Connor Carrick to Toronto for Daniel Winnick, and a fifth round pick that became Beck Mallinson.
Daniel Winnick,
long term
injured
reserve. No, you liked his wife.
His ex-wife.
Okay, settle down. So, yeah, I don't know where I was going with that one. But, yeah, no, I mean, I don't think they're going to be like, well, we can't upset Alex. First of all, he doesn't have a contract next season.
Yeah.
That's a problem. No, I imagine that's going to happen. But we'll wait and see. I wonder if they keep saying that for Ovechkin. They're waiting to talk about later on. And I wonder if that's just so the media will stop asking them so that they can, like, negotiate it now without being bothered. I mean, if I was doing that, I bet I'd be pretty clever. We'll wait until later in the season. And they'd be like, idiots. They believed us. just get it taken care of.
That hurts my stomach thinking about that. I don't even want to think about Ovi in another jersey.
I mean, that would suck, but man, the amount of cap space you'd have freed up.
I know, but
he can make some moves.
He's
not
doing well.
He's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah. All right, is that it for Caps World?
Hang on, something I didn't catch it earlier today, but it looks like Caps assigned Michael Scarbosa and Garrett Pylon to the taxi squad. Thank you, Nova Caps. I didn't see that earlier today.
Is that because Oshie and
Tuesday...
Ovechkin missed practice?
I don't know. Maybe. It could be. This is a backup just in case. That'll be interesting. Could be another guy with an injury. I don't know. We'll wait and see.
All right. Well, that's it for what's going on in Caps World. Now let's go down on the farm. All right, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, down in Hershey, the Bears went 1-1 with an overtime win over Binghamton. They're currently tied for first in the North Division with Lehigh Valley with 18 points, although Hershey has played two more games. Now, they'll be back at it on Wednesday in Lehigh Valley before heading to Wilkes-Barre Scranton on Friday, followed up with a game at the Giant Center on Sunday afternoon against those same baby Pens. In other AHL news, the Ontario Reign made history when they paired together former Cap hero Devontae Smith-Pelly, Quinton Byfield, and Akeel Thomas, becoming the first team with a forward trio of all African-American players since the 1940s. It's a little absurd it's taken that long. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 3-0 with three wins, all of them over Fort Wayne. They're currently fifth in the Eastern Conference with 38 points, 18 back of first place Florida. They'll be back at it on Wednesday at the North Charleston Coliseum against Jacksonville before welcoming Orlando for three games over the weekend starting on Friday. In other ECHL news, The Jacksonville Icemen are playing one game wearing Thanos-inspired jerseys and gloves. I don't know if you saw the picture for this. The gloves have the Infinity Stones.
No.
It's clever, but Ooh. 2 years too late. We've moved on. Also, in case their marketing department isn't aware, he was the bad guy. You know, Ooh. Genocide of trillions of life forms in that universe. But whatever, we can make a cool jersey and gloves.
You know what? I dig those gloves.
They are pretty cool, I have to admit. But this is an odd choice. I also feel like if you're a minor league player and you get these like goofy jerseys, are you looking at it going, okay, but I'm going to look like an idiot.
Oh, man, we missed the auction. It was yesterday.
What, to get the jerseys?
To get, yeah, the jerseys and the gloves.
Pass. Wait, what'd they go for? I'm curious.
Yeah, I'm kind of, I want to figure that out right now.
Are you looking it up?
Yeah, I'm on their tweets. I'm on their Twitter.
He's on the tweets.
Bid here. All right. $190.
Pass.
For the gloves, $250 for the sweaters. $170 for the gloves. All right, can I go from like the lowest? Yeah, price, low to high. There we go. This website's getting even better. $150 for the gloves. That's the cheapest one. And
nope.
I don't know. Those are $250 is the cheapest sweater. I don't know. The gloves are pretty awesome. I would like to have one of those in my collection.
Anyways, that's the past week in minor league hockey.
Yeah, they did a Thanos one, which, like you said, it's a little old. You think they would have done Justice League, since that just came out on HBO Max?
I've watched the first little over 2 hours. I still have a ways to go.
It's weird that it's 4x3, isn't it? That really threw me off when it started.
No, it's weird that it's 4 freaking hours, and it really would be an hour and a half if not every other shot was in slow motion. Calm down, Zack Snyder.
I'm excited to see it because I like Wonder Woman and I like Aquaman, and I thought Ben Affleck did good as Batman, so I'm intrigued to see what he does with it. I have only watched maybe like 45 minutes, if that, but I don't like Zack Snyder, but I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt with this. But I've never
been impressed.
Wait, what's
wrong with Zack Snyder?
I've never been impressed with any of his work. I mean, everything.
The Dawn of the Dead from 2000. I don't know what year it was. I don't remember. 2002?
It was an early 2000 movie. 2002, 2003, maybe.
I actually really enjoyed that film.
That one's all right. That one's fine. I didn't like that the zombies ran, but that was his choice.
It's actually terrifying. You see, like, the Walking Dead zombies, and you're like, oh, so if I just, like, walk at a brisk pace, I'll be fine.
Yeah, that's
Not to
what
mention
it is now.
That the zombie apocalypse has caused everybody to go deaf, apparently, because they can't freaking hear the zombie coming up behind them until the last minute, and then it jumps on there. They're like, oh, I'm so surprised. I'm like, they're stumbling blocks of moron. It's not hard to hear them. The zombie ones from the Zack Snyder. First of all, of course they ran because it's Zack Snyder. But then secondly, they're freaking terrifying. Because you're like, oh, it's a zombie. And it's like, yeah, punk. And it like runs at you. And you're like, oh, snap, I'm dead. Game over.
I mean, his Watchmen, that was not good.
Yeah, that was not great.
300 was okay. But, I mean, every single
It was
one
okay
of
at the
movies,
time. I realized that I can't really watch that anymore because I'm like, meh.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Zack Snyder's good when you go to a movie theater, if they still exist, and you see it once and you don't want to watch it ever again because it is the same movie over and over again. It's the same slow motion. It's the same fake looking sky. It's the same dark palette every single movie.
Anyways, this is for when we set up our movie and TV podcast.
Yeah. Which no one got back to me about doing a Patreon about hockey movies, so I guess we're not doing that. But anyway, that's it for what's going on in around down on the farm. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL. Coach Dan told me he needs at least another extra hour and a half for this section of the show because there's so much going on. Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL?
I got two bits of news. That's it. Nothing else going on, guys. It's going to be a quick one. Let's start in St. Louis, where, and I missed this. This is actually technically, if I caught this when it happened, then we'd have one bit of news. But a few weeks ago, St. Louis signed goalie Jordan Binnington to a six-year, $36 million extension. That's a $6 million a year cap hit. And let's wrap it up in Canada, where the last few in any games through March 28th of the Canadiens games, those have been postponed due to two players being in the NHL's COVID protocols. That's the news from the past week in the NHL.
Wait, so the NHL postponed games through the 28th because these guys tested positive?
I don't know if they tested positive. They didn't say that. It said they're as a result of being in the, you know, the thingy, the NHL's COVID protocols.
Interesting. Okay. I guess they're trying to make sure like a break or like there's no breakout or anything like that. Because we haven't seen that yet around the league. Well, I guess, was it Carolina?
No, we had a couple of teams have had games postponed. Dallas didn't play for like six weeks or something.
But they're saying the 28th. That's 5 days away. So I mean, they're taking.
But they've already missed a few.
Yeah, I mean, they're taking that full 10 to 14 days of quarantine very seriously. Good for the NHL. Good for them. That's what you got to do.
I mean, it's not something you play around with.
Yeah. All right, so is that the show? Is that it for this week?
Yeah, let's wrap it up, man.
All right, well, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals-related stuff when things are actually happening. If I'm actually on there and my kid isn't keeping me busy. That's what else do I talk about on there, Brandon? Arsenal Football Club and how they had a garbage first half over the weekend and then actually played well in the second half to come back in that game. Talking about the Washington football team as they – I was just seeing something about their new name. They're having some thing about that tomorrow, but I don't imagine they're going to announce it. And then talking about the Bills and the moves they're making this offseason. That's finding me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But if you have enjoyed the show and all the things that Brandon and I have been saying, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where we post when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of things related to the Washington Capitals, the National Hockey League, or any funny things related to hockey that Brandon finds. He will put them on there if they make him giggle. That's facebook.com. facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, I was talking about the Bills. And what do you think the team name be nice? What should the team name be for the Washington football team? Of the ones you've heard so far.
Wasn't it the Red Wolves?
One of them? That's my favorite.
Yeah,
right
I like
now.
That one.
I like Red Wolves. Red Tails I can get behind. Red Wolves. I used to like Warriors as an idea. I'm not really buying that one. And what was another one? There's some of them. I mean, if you go, it's actually pretty clever what they've done. So if you go on to their website, there's a website dedicated to coming up with a new name, and fans can submit designs and they can submit names. And I'm sure they're not going to use any of their designs, but I wouldn't be surprised if a couple people got a job offer, or at least an interview with like design companies or web marketing companies or something like that, just as a result of this stuff. But if they don't already have jobs, but I thought this was pretty clever. But anyways, if you are a fan of a purple-clad team up there in Balmer, is there a certain podcast they should be following?
Yeah, if you are a fan of the Baltimore Ravens, you can listen to my Baltimore Ravens podcast called The Call. That's where me and my buddy Josh talk anything and everything that goes on about the Ravens, and we really wish they would do something so we could do a show and talk about it. Free agency's going on, and they really haven't really done anything. But former Raven Joe Flacco just signed up with the Philadelphia Eagles. So good for him for playing another year.
Is he going to play at all?
It's Philadelphia, so they'll probably give up on their quarterback within 3 to 4 games and then put Joe in and not block for him. So we'll see what happens. But if you are a Ravens fan, you can listen to my other podcasts wherever you listen to this show. Now, this show we do for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So until we talk again, there are four games going on. And make sure you watch them all. On Thursday, March 25th, the Capitals are up against the Devils. And they are at home. This is weird. For whatever reason, the website is all blacked out. And it's not color coordinating the home and away for the schedule. So that's very odd. But
the schedule. There it is.
Anyway, the Caps are at home against the New Jersey Devils. That game is at 7 o'clock. You can watch that on NBC Sports Washington. Plus, on the 26th, that Friday, the Devils again. It's a back-to-back game. That game is at 7 o'clock, and you can watch that on ESPN Plus or locally here on NBC Sports Washington. And then on Sunday, the 28th, the Capitals are up against the Rangers in MSG up in New York City. That is a noon start, so you know Yevgeny Kuznetsov is not going to be happy, and that game is on NBC broadcast television. And then a week from today, Tuesday, March 30th, the Caps are up against the Rangers again in New York, and you can watch that game locally here on NBC Sports Washington. No news, though. We were talking about that, about 22nd kind of being the deadline. No news about whether or not they'll be allowing fans in D.C. or not for the Caps.
Mid to late April is supposed to be, I think, when that is a possibility.
So we'll see what
happens
there.
Guess who won't be going? And
this guy. Hey, this is interesting. I didn't realize this, but they're actually playing a game on Easter. Look at that. April 4th, the Caps are up against the Devils at 3 o'clock on NBC Sports Washington. That's interesting. I don't remember them ever playing on Easter Sunday. I know they used to play on Easter Saturday. I watched many games on Easter Saturday, but never on Sunday. That's interesting. All right. Well, that's it for the show this week. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Wear a mask.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.